Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am going to be joined by Pete here in a second. We are going to recap the Lakers' loss to the Portland Trail Blazers. Super frustrating game. So you'll pick that up from the tone that Pete and I have in this one. It's one thing to, you know, have some stuff not break your way or whatever. Obviously, over the course of this year, the Lakers are probably going to at some point deal with different absences and different situations and stuff. Obviously, it's going to be a super weird year. But the lack of effort is really kind of annoying, and that's something that Pete and I talk about at the beginning of the show. Second segment, we get more into some of the situational stuff and some of the lineup choices that were made. And then finally, I wanted to pick up the conversation. Now that we've seen the latest example of Kuzma when he starts versus Kuzma when he comes off of the bench, I wanted to pick Pete's brain about that as well. And then, you know, pick up some of the conversation that we had in yesterday's show when I talked about why I wanted to see Kuz play with Gasol as much as possible. I gave a stat that's pretty, it's small sample size theater, but it's pretty crazy how productive Kuz and Gasol have been so far this year. So let's go ahead and throw it to the show. I promise you, we make this one as fun as possible, just like we do every day. You can find this show everywhere that you find podcasts and continue to enjoy this despite the losing record. I know you guys don't want to start your day with a loss or people talking about a loss. But I still believe there are things to learn from this one, so you may as well continue to try to do that. Let's enjoy the show. Well, Pete, I would hope at some point you and I will be able to talk after one of these games and not have this annoyed tone.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they play well when we got a show the next day, huh?
We're going to get to all of the game and stuff like that. But one of the things that I was a little concerned about or curious about was when the Lakers really have to set a tone or when they really want to go on one of their runs. Last year it came because they just locked down on defense, really clamped down on defense. And just suffocated teams in that way. That allowed them to get it out in transition and make up for some of the flaws that they had in their half-court game. And my concern heading into this year was, well, that identity is going to shift. Are they going to be good enough in the half-court to make up for that, to make up for some of the points that they aren't going to score in transition this year? And when they're playing against a team that was shooting the way Portland was, especially down the stretch, it just really looked like the Lakers they showed up to a gunfight with a knife or a gunfight with like a water pistol. On top not playing hard.
They showed up to a gunfight and tried to take a nap. Like
they played possum. They did the Alexander Hamilton thing, right? Where they shot up in the air and the other guy was like, okay.
Yeah.
Such an annoying game. I beyond it, just our annoyance. Did you like? Was there any basketball reason? Any basketball difference there? Or was it just focus?
It's just effort. You can see it in their body language. Just their competitive spirit wasn't there. AD in particular, he did not compete for most of this game. Had a little stretch in the third quarter and even then it was like what. Trying to get yourself back in or into a game by going one-on-one, like that's not the way to do it. Go make a defensive play. Go like if you want to get into a game and just that, because we started out hot, right? And LeBron brought great effort. Schroeder brought great effort. THT played hard, even though he, you know, got burned on defense a bit. Wes Matthews, I thought, played hard. I didn't think Trez played hard. AD didn't play hard. And when LeBron went out that first time, we were up by like 10. Mm-hmm. And you're you follow your leader, right? And when LeBron's not on the floor, AD is the leader of the team. And when he's not as engaged, that seeps into everybody, you know?
And not even like as engaged, not engaged at all. Like,
no.
There's no comparison to be made. This was the worst I've seen him play as a Laker.
Yeah, he was just drifting out there, and he played 38 minutes, man. And I'd rather he didn't play at all if he's going to play with that type of effort, or if he's only got so much in the tank. And if you got 20 minutes, especially at this point of the season, like, look, I get we've talked so much about the short off season, the quick turnaround.
Yeah.
This was the Lakers. It was a back-to-back.
There's reasons not take nights off. There's
the third game in 4 nights. Right. He didn't play yesterday, but whatever it is that you got to give, like, give it that night. And if minutes need to be scaled back, that's fine. I would rather Devontae Kaycock or Kostas or somebody get run that is going to, because it's hard to, this is the thing, is that a loss like this in and of itself does not matter, right? Mm-mm. It's not going to impact much at all in the grand scheme of things. But when you don't play hard, it's difficult to accomplish anything. Like in those two games where we won those games and looked really, really good in doing them, in playing them, I thought we accomplished some things in those games. That was part of the joy of that, right? Our passing, I thought, really looked great. We started to discover how to, and that carried over to this game, to Mark Gasol and how he can fit defensively. I thought he was one of the guys who played hard tonight and played well in this game. And so it's not a loss, right? That's this great sin. It's that when you don't give the requisite effort, it does show up in basketball ways. It's like, how many steals did we just miss? Or did we not rotate in time when we blitz Dame on the ball screen and now it's Jusuf Nurkić strolling down the middle of the paint? Like these things don't, I know it, like, oh, they didn't play hard, seems like such a coverall, but that manifests itself in basketball in so many ways, especially on the defensive end. On the offense, it turns into turnovers, and we had quite a few of those, live ball turnovers. But at the end of the day, man, it was like, I would rather scale back, play younger guys, bigger minutes, than have games like this. I'm really annoyed by this game.
Yeah, I just, you know, the whole AD thing is something that we knew going in, that there were going to be stretches where he has to sit. If there was a legitimate calf thing that he was dealing with, I don't see the difference that a day would make. So, like, if he's dealing with something like that, and he very clearly didn't have it in terms of physicality, you know, on even on the plays where he really tried to be dominant and to get into the paint, he had one, but on the other ones, even when he was trying to get something going to the basket, he still didn't look that good. He had, like, for example, he was successful on this play, but he had that and one on Nurkić, or no, was it Kanter?
It was on, I think it was Kanter.
And he had that and one on Kanter, and usually his and ones go over a defender, but he was off to the side of the defender. And it's like, A, if you're not 100%, then don't go. B, if you are not 100%, don't make it look so obvious, even on the plays that you're trying to give 100% of what you have in the tank there. It was a bad game all around for him, and playing him the 38 minutes, like, he got 38 minutes worth of good cardio. But, like, he could have just run laps around the gym and been as productive as he was. It would have been fine.
Yeah. Trez was bad too.
Yeah. Well, that's where I kind of wanted to start the next segment in talking about the Trez and Gasol thing, because Gasol plays 19 minutes, and I think that's about the limit that the Lakers feel comfortable playing him is 19 minutes or 20-ish minutes, which, you know, gives you some limits, because on a night where AD very clearly doesn't have it, your only other quote unquote big is Trez, and this is a really bad matchup for him. And then on top of it not being a good matchup for him, he just also was kind of loafing around out there.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to get into all of that stuff.
Today's show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag, and today's game of the day or the night is going to be the New York Knicks
heading into Cleveland to face off against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Right now, betonline.ag has them at 3.5, them being the Cleveland Cavaliers, 3.5-point favorites. The circumstances are weird, but generally that means that the BetOnline has them as 0.5 point better than New York, and I think Cleveland is a little bit better than a 0.5 point better than New York. So I would go ahead and, you know, drop a couple doll hairs on that one. But as we've learned so far this year, a really smart way to bet is to fade me. No matter how you are going to address this weird regular season that we are trying to wager on, the best place to do so is going to be at betonline.ag. And right now, if you use a promo code Locked On, you will get a 50% deposit bonus that you can give yourself a little bit extra parachute on if and when you suck at betting the way that I have so far this year. So again, head on over to betonline.ag. Use that promo code Locked On to get an extra 50% on the money that you deposit when you first make that deposit, and have some fun. BetOnline.ag is the best place to do any kind of sports wagering, and I would put that against anybody. So a concept that I think you and I are going to be talking about throughout the year, so much so that I think at some point our listeners are going to get annoyed. Like, I might have to implement a fine system for the whole, you know, process approach to developing the team and developing the aspects of it that are going to make this a better playoff team than it is a regular season team. But Gasol all game was really handling the pick and roll really well, much better than I ever would anticipate, given the type of guards that the Trailblazers have. And I thought down the stretch, it would have been nice to see Gasol out there to close the game. There was like you have to be careful about when you bring him back in. But when you got to the 3-minute mark and he's at 19 minutes, I think he can probably afford to play 22 minutes, given how long an offseason that he had compared to everybody else. And, you know, this is something that how Vogel handles this and tinkers with this and sees how the Lakers have anybody out there or how different players and different combinations handle different situations. That's going to be something that we're going to continue to kind of watch over the course of the year. But like a couple of the points that we've made to this point in the season, one, it's such a bad matchup for Harrell that I'm not sure you're really going to learn anything. And then on top of that, because of how poorly Anthony Davis was playing and especially how bad Montrezl Harrell was playing, you're definitely not going to learn anything about from those situations. So you may as well try and go out and get the win. Did you find yourself wanting to see Gasol out there or a different combination of anybody else out there?
Yeah, I'm fine with them kind of predetermining we're going to go with this lineup and play these guys this many minutes. Mm-hmm. If that's the goal, if we were trying to win this game, then Gasol was the better matchup for a multitude of reasons. Mm-hmm. I also didn't like, we had Trez in a lot of deep drops. The Blazers took 46 threes in this game. And yeah, part of it is because we had Trez hanging back in the paint on that. One of the things I've been excited about from the last two games, and even in this game as well, I think Mark was, I don't have the box score in front of me, but I think it was a plus 14 in this game or something mm-hmm. close yep. to it.
Plus 14.
Mm-hmm. And part of that was an emerging thing that I'm really excited about that will matter long term more than my irritation with this game is how do we defend with Mark? Like Mark's yeah. slow, right? Mm-hmm. But he's blitzing, trapping pick and rolls very well. And one of the mm-hmm. things,
especially about, on the sideline.
Mm-hmm, well, that's the thing is when you trap, and this is how I when I coached, I trapped a lot. I ran a lot of half court traps and full court presses as well, but I really liked half court traps. And so we had certain principles. And one of the things I would do certain things as a coach, being, you know, smaller and a good deal less athletic than my players, that sometimes I would go out there and demonstrate because it was to show them, like, look, if I can do this, if like this principle works and I can guard you in this circumstance by using this principle, then imagine what you can do, right? That's right. Kind of the lesson of that. And so me being Marc Gasol in this situation is one of the principles for trapping is don't
get every beat. Time I see Marc Gasol, I see you.
Yeah, like, I know. Oh, I know. It's just, we get confused for each other all the time. But one of the principles to trapping is don't get beat outside leg, right? And so when you think about two trapping defenders, think of them as one person, or like a three-legged potato sack race or whatever, right? But think of them as one person. Is like, if so, Mark can't guard Damian Lillard on the perimeter, but Mark can keep Damian Lillard, especially on the sideline, mm-hmm. from going beating him in a certain direction. Right. So Mark's job, if Mark's coming up on Dame, say is to don't let Dame beat you going to the left, and you slide all the way and you put your foot right on the sideline, right next to the sideline, so you don't get beat in that direction. If Dame crosses over and goes middle, guess whose fault that is? It's the guards that's mm-hmm. trapping, right? And same thing happens in the other direction. Is the guard's job is to not get beat outside leg, like mm-hmm. send the ball handler to the help. And that's where Mark's defensive IQ and understanding of how to defend is, even though, and again, this is what I would do as a coach, is like, put me as one of the trap guys against the most athletic guy that we have. And my job is to just not get beat that way. You're not going to beat me that way, mm-hmm. right? You can always take away one direction. And so that was a thing that we saw in this game and saw in previous games that I'm really excited about, is that, that can get us into our scrambling defenses. It mm-hmm. gives Mark some long closeouts sometimes, but all in all, it was like, oh, this is how we can do it, and not just have Mark in a drop. And the problem with Mark in too deep of a drop is that guys can just go over the top of him because he's not much of a leaper. I love how he blocks shots, like down low, he gets all these like strip blocks, kind of yeah. from flat-footed blocks. But with Trez, we had Trez just hanging way back in the paint. And so CJ and Dame down the stretch, we're just stepping into threes off of ball screens.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to have Trez on the floor right there, have him do what Mark's doing, right? Have him
right.
use his quickness. It also gets like the blood flowing and the juices going in a way of like, we're kind of lifeless and spiritless. Let's trap. Let's get everybody scrambling. And maybe we get dunked on, right? Like at the end of the day, the player's got to go hard for mm-hmm. any scheme to work. But if we were going to have Trez out there, I would have liked, that was a very long-winded way of me saying we should have trapped and done, you know, handled it the same way that we were with Mark.
I also wonder if that's something that's, you know, his dropping as often as he was and as deep as he was, like, it was maddening. I think it was a team-wide thing too, because there were some possessions, like there was one in particular where Kuz was dropping for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, we were
and Dame stepped right in and hit a three in his face. Or no, that was Trent, maybe. I think that was Trent. And then on the very next play, THT just kind of floated off Trent and gave him his 6 3-pointer. It was just one of those stupid games that they kind of drive you insane. But with Harrell in particular, I kind of wonder if he's dropping that far he's still in the habit of the way that Rivers was doing with him. And then it was also something that, like, when you would watch the Clippers and he would be out there and he'd be doing those deep drops, you'd be wondering, like, why are you still doing this? You know, either,
but that's,
either,
I mean,
Doc,
that's
sucks at it. Like either Doc yeah. wasn't doing his job, or Harrell was not playing to the best of his abilities or his skill set defensively. And I kind of wonder if this is just something that they're going to have to, you know, a habit that they're really going to have to break with him, is actually the only way you're going to be useful as a pick and roll defender here is probably if you blitz, because those deep yeah. drops are never going to work.
Yeah. I honestly think that that's a coaching decision. It's so far away from what, and this is what I look for on plays like that mm-hmm. is on TV, rather than like, you can hear guys arguing like, oh, you're yeah. supposed to come up or something if you're at the game. But on TV, I look like, are guys pointing at each other or
right.
being like, what the hell are you doing? Right. Because if right. if you're dropped that deep and you're supposed to be showing at the level of the screen or blitzing yeah. and trapping, like Shooter, it's such a drastic.
Shooter has no problem talking to him either. Like he that's would what be I'm saying something. Yeah,
exactly. And so that's what indicates to me that it was the plan. And mm-hmm. it's like, all right. Like, so maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's my theory.
Well, the thing about the Blazers is we don't know for sure that Dame Lillard is one of the best 3-point shooters off the dribble that I've ever seen. Like that's not this is a new development. I've never watched him play before.
Bro, remember I know we got to go to break. Remember how like going up to Portland used to always suck? Like we'd always lose those games. It feels like the last 3 or 4 years we've had at least one game per season at home against the Blazers. It's just been one of the most frustrating freaking games of the year, and Dame kills us every damn time. Like for most of the game I was like, oh, Dame's quiet, and then like, oh, he's got 31 on 10 for 16. Like
I kind of wish somebody would have told Schroeder to shut the bleep up, because he was just needling him, and he was needling him, and he was needling him, and Dame was getting frustrated because he wasn't being given, and I was happy he wasn't being given it. That one foul that they'll call sometimes where he gets a handoff or he comes around a screen and immediately and jumps. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's one of the cheapest plays in the NBA today. And they weren't rewarding him for it, but it just kept annoying him and annoying him and annoying him. And finally, when he got that and one, you could tell he was just like, it's about damn, you know, he was livid. And yeah, I just think, you know, and this is another thing that the Lakers are going to have to figure out. Like Schroeder, I thought was too aggressive again. And that's something that if he wants to play with LeBron, if he wants to play with AD, if he wants to play with that starting group, he's going to have to find that balance to where there are some plays that, yeah, you do kick it into high gear, but then there are others where it's like, no, we need you to dial it back just a little bit. Like there, he threw a pass today to KCP, and it was exactly the thing that you and I have talked about a lot with him, where he goes into turbo mode and he tries to flip a pass off to his right, and KCP made an incredible catch. He was out there on the wing, but like that, KCP's defender took a step in to be able to just kind of show, and then but like any advantage that you would gain by forcing that defender to do that, it's lost immediately. If you throw the ball and it's heading towards the fifth row, it's just this big thing that he's going to have to learn, balancing his one-on-one game, the game within a game that he's going to play against other good point guards that he's trying to show everybody he's one of. And then on top of that, just learning straight up how to play within the system that is Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
All of that is true. For me, though, this is not the night to get too deep into that, because give me a guy who's doing too much.
Yeah.
Like, this was a night where, like, we could have used more of Dennis Schroeder's spirit in this game, like, in terms of if everybody played as hard as he did, it would have turned out differently. His passing, though, like, it's funny because, like, I dig this guy on a fundamental level. Like, I just like he's appealing to me, but he's got this one part of his game that drives me crazy, and it's his passing. Like he throws these casual, inaccurate passes, and it's not all of his passing, right? It's like, there are certain plays where he's just like really casual with it or really sloppy with his fundamentals, and that lead to those errant passes. And they're either turnovers or like that play with KCP where he caught it, you know, super high. So yeah, man, it's just anyway, Schroeder tonight, I was fine with Schroeder. Yeah. He'll have possessions where he does too much, but we needed somebody with that, you know, level of oomph to his game. And
yeah,
we just didn't have enough of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair that he was the only kind of consistent spark out there. But I still think, like, even while that, I think both these things can be true at the same time.
For sure.
That they needed any amount of that spark that they can possibly get. But also, he can't take himself out of the game by trying to go one-on-one against a much better player in Damian Lillard. Let's take one more quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk about something that I noticed in the previous game and something that we knew was probably going to be the case heading into the season, and then something that really showed, I mean, the difference between Kyle Kuzma in these last two games was about as stark as you can possibly have it. So I want to talk about whether if that was compounded by everything else that was going on today, or if they have to find a way to tweak their rotation to maybe get more out of Kyle Kuzma in general. Today's show is brought to you also in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll save 20% off of your next order. And look, we're heading into the New Year's season. New Year's is going to be, the New Year kicks off basically on Friday. And that means that for a lot of us, myself included, shedding a couple pounds here and there or just living a more healthy life is my resolution. And as a part of that, I look forward to these incredible protein bars replacing a bag of chips here and there, or, you know, whatever unhealthy snack that I was going to go with. Or occasionally, if I have a bigger breakfast, maybe I can replace lunch with a protein bar or vice versa. So again, head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll save 20% off your next order. And then tell your friends, tell everybody about it. As everybody, we're all looking for things to say to each other all the time anyway, right? So you may as well talk about New Year's resolutions, talk about your attempts at losing some weight, and then tell them this really cool way to give yourself a little bit of a boost there. So again, one last time, use that promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. BuiltBar.com for the best protein bars you will ever eat. So Kyle Kuzma on the night goes, and this is a literal night after going ballistic in the game against Minnesota, which, like, by the way, I didn't want to read too much into that game against Minnesota, because, like, how the Lakers played tonight, that's how Minnesota played against the Lakers, and the Lakers just beat the living piss out of them because of that.
Yeah, this is like as bad as we can play, and yeah, it was like a competitive game.
But the thing here with Kuzma is, so I think it's really difficult to ask him to be your starting shooting guard, which is how he would play alongside Marc Gasol. You could try to bring Gasol off of the bench, but I think you lose some of the other stuff that, like, allowed the Lakers to open up that lead in the first place, that they did against Portland. I personally would like to see as much Kuzma-Gasol combination time as possible, just because I think they see the game on a very similar level and in very similar ways, especially offensively. And I just don't know how you do that mathematically and check all the other boxes off. Is that a high enough priority to you, playing Kuzma alongside Gasol, to switch up the rotation in any way? Or is this the kind of thing where you hope that he eventually develops similar chemistry with the other guys that are coming off the bench with him?
No, I mean, I think they're a peanut butter and jelly fit. And
they're so good together.
Yeah, that maximizing their minutes together. When I think of Vogel's rotation, you know, Gasol's in the high teens right now in minutes. And so this is basically two shifts, right? Maybe two and a half. Sometimes he gets a stint at the end of the second quarter, as well as the start of the first and the start of the third. And so those first subs, even if Kuz is coming in with 6 minutes left for LeBron, right? Because LeBron's going to the bench there. That there's a few minutes there that he has with Mark, but it's when those two are in the game together, especially run the offense through Mark. That was one thing in this game that we didn't do a ton of, is those high post, those touches at the elbow, those touches at the top of the key. They just weren't there. So yeah, I'd love to see them maximize that. Kuz is much more aggressive offensively, although he was aggressive in this game. He was just missing shots, but yeah, him as a starter versus him off of the bench, there's certainly a noticeable difference. And I do think that in this context of this season, especially playing more with Mark, that would be part of it. But I also agree that him playing at the two is kind of a tougher ask.
Do you think him starting is the kind of thing that, because look, while it's a lot easier for you and I and anybody on Twitter to say, we would prefer that, you know, we don't care as much about the starters. We care about who closes games, right? And it's very easy for us to say, but anybody who has played basketball in an organized fashion will know and will say that starting does mean something. And we now have seen a decent enough sample size of starting Kuzma and bench Kuzma and the type of production that we see between those two players. And I'm wondering if you think this is something that has kind of crept into his head too, not just the being able to say that you're a starter, but on top of that, like just the situation that goes into it. And now at this point, the confidence in coming off of the bench versus the confidence that you have starting a game.
Yeah, I think part of it, Vogel touched on it today, is that there's just more shots available too. Kuz is such a rhythm player that I think that the starter, like usually when he's starting, it's because LeBron James or Anthony Davis aren't playing. And then what, 18 to 20 shots become available, and he's a prime candidate to pick those up. So I think that the reasons why can kind of convolute, like it's not the same if LeBron and AD are playing that, oh, we just start Kuz. And if we could start Kuz, then we'd get the same guy. It's just not I just don't think it necessarily works that way. But Kuz is a guy that I would love to see us really trying to, as soon as he comes into the game, run a couple sets for him, try to get him going. Cause I do think that once he sees the ball go through the hoop a couple times early on in particular, he's, you know, a lot more engaged in different elements of the game. Like this wasn't a particularly good defensive game. You talked about a flip possession against Dame, you know, in the fourth quarter, that was an example of that. So yeah, it was just a really mentally disengaged night overall. We haven't seen enough for me to be like, oh, we need to make this rotation change or that. We're still this is the fourth game of the year, still gathering information. And this is why tonight was so irritating for me, is this was mostly a useless game for me in terms of learning anything from it, because just some fundamental ingredients about competing weren't there. And like I would always say, no scheme is going to work if you don't put in the requisite attention and effort into it. So I think everything that you said there is kind of a, let's keep an eye out for that type of thing, more than a make decisions based on it.
Yeah. There are very few things that I would actually make decisions about based on the evidence that we have to this point. So like, for example, Marc Gasol and Kyle Kuzma, I was just kind of interested in the small sample size theater. But in 23 minutes together, they have a net rating of 35.4. And it just like screams that while you're watching it, right? And then just because it's like on the screen next to it, Wesley Matthews and Anthony Davis have a net rating in 21 minutes of minus 40.6.
Those end of first quarter. So AD's... this was the most glaring example of that, but AD does not have a block shot this season.
That's wild. In
three games. And so this, like not competing at the high level, has been, he's played well. He's played well offensively, especially, and has made some plays defensively. But when LeBron goes out of the game, those end of the first quarter, end of the third quarter lineups have really suffered in large part because Anthony Davis is not playing like Anthony Davis in a lot of important ways.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some stuff, like I'm sure if I was to go through all of Wesley Matthews combinations, that none of them would look particularly good. I'm starting to get nervous about Wesley Matthews. I was very excited that they were able to get him especially right after the Dennis Schroeder trade. And you thought in theory that, you know, while he wouldn't be Danny Green, because Danny Green, like at his peak, was significantly better than Wesley Matthews. And then on top of that, like there's a reason Danny Green gets paid more than Matthews does at this stage of his career. So like you knew going in that you probably shouldn't have too high of expectations for him. But like,
Yeah, he's been bad.
It's just brutal. And some of it too is like, some of it's matchup stuff. Tonight, because Caruso wasn't there, he was asked to chase around Damian Lillard. He was asked to chase around CJ McCollum. And that's not the kind of thing he's ever going to be good at this year. Honestly, if the Lakers played Portland in a situation where they were trying to win the game, you know, it's a playoff situation or something like that, I don't know if Wesley Matthews gets off the bench in that game.
Yeah.
Just because of how, you know, who he's guarding there, unless you're trying to, you know, if Carmelo Anthony is giving the Lakers some issues, you know, because he's bullying Kuzma or something like that. But I just, it's a really bad matchup for Matthews. But like, as I tweeted out, this is an extremely bad matchup for Wesley Matthews. And like the replies to the up and down my mentions were, what is based on how he's playing to this point, what is? So I think at some point, if he doesn't start, you know, picking it up, he should lose a significant chunk of his minutes to Caruso, like on a nightly basis. He might turn out to be a, you know, we thought THT would be a 10 minute a night player. Matthews might be that. Like, that might be who he is.
He might be. He's getting older, right? He's 36, I think. Mm-hmm. And so that said, I've seen around the league, and this is something that is worth noting on a night like tonight that was especially irritating, is this has been around the league some of the worst basketball, regular season basketball,
yeah,
I've ever seen. And it's in some twilight zone between regular season and preseason, but also you've got teams are traveling less. And so they're playing the same team back to back. And, but it's really disorganized. And a lot of guys, one of the common themes I've seen around the league is guys over 30 for the most part have not looked that great. So yeah.
He's significantly over 30. I was actually significantly surprised. Over 30. When I saw that they, you know, they were going to sign him and stuff, I looked and I was surprised that he was 36. I didn't think he'd been in the league for that long, but I believe he was drafted a little later.
Yeah.
He came out of college a little later.
No, he was undrafted. Yeah. He was undrafted. So
yeah.
His goal is to be the best undrafted player of all time. So, that's something that he's mentioned.
He might have a case.
Yeah. I don't know enough of, like, I'd have to go through the list, but, considering the circumstances, let me ask you this. How many games before you start drawing conclusions on a guy like Wesley Matthews?
Well, it needs to be enough to where you see different situations, right? So like in a game like tonight, you know, going into it, especially without Kuzma there, this was always going to be a bad Wesley Matthews game. So let me see a few matchups where it's set up in a place where it's a better Wesley Matthews matchup. And you need enough of that to, you know, I usually like, cause I like round numbers, 10 to 15 games, of proper matchups, not just 10 to 15 raw games, but of matchups that heading into it, you would say, this is the kind of situation where he should be fine. Not he should look great. Not he should do really, really well. Just he should. This is the kind of situation he should be able to handle. And tonight isn't that. Like tonight, the Blazers is not a backcourt that he would ever be able to handle. That's just not what he was on this roster to do.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair.
Do you 10 to 15 games? Is that too little for you? The problem is all of our sample sizes are kind of shrunken this year.
But. Yeah, I'm more in the 20-25 game range, especially with kind of where we are with our goals as a team. But yeah, no, like I haven't liked what I've seen so far, but I would probably give it under these conditions a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess because of the depth, I'm scaling that back.
Right, you know, kind of.
The Lakers have so many good players that, like, I'm not going to sit here and wait for Wesley Matthews to turn it around.
No, man, that's a great point. And that's, again, part of what's irritating about a night like tonight is if everybody's competing, then there is that push of, like, well, you got to play well if you want to get minutes, you know?
Right.
And we've got enough guys to where that can be it enforceable, right? And you can really live up to that. Again, third game in four nights, back to back, blah, 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 blah. That said, like, put the dudes out there again. If we're going to run 9-10 deep and we ain't got 9 or 10 that got it that night for all of these reasons, I'd rather see them get the run because we can learn about a Wesley Matthews a little bit more. We can learn more about everybody when that happens, you know, but it's not when we play like this, it's mostly useless.
Yep. I that's a good place to end the show. When we play like this, it's mostly useless. I hope our energy wasn't at the same place. I'm still trying to, like, I agree about 99%. Maybe like 95%. I agree with you that there's just not much you can take away from this because of how poorly the Lakers played. But like one thing that we saw last year was that, like, they could play really poorly and just kind of slog through a game and then put the clamps down and really be able to turn it on and be able to win that game anyway. And this is the team, like, defensively, they aren't, I don't think, going to be able to do that, not as they're currently composed. So, you know, hopefully they take from this, they learn from this, like, hey, we can't just kind of, against a playoff team, we can't just kind of sleepwalk through this and then flip that switch and dominate. It's just that they aren't built that same way defensively. Now, maybe offensively, if you put out the right lineup out there and maybe Vogel finds out that there is this, like, magical lineup that produces offensively enough to do, like, to be the offensive version of that, then sure, but that's going to take a long time to get to. Defense is a lot more ready made typically, because it's an effort thing. And if you don't have the effort, then there goes the defense. There it goes.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a part of the personality of this team. But honestly, the effort thing was on both ends of the court for me. Yeah. And it showed up on defense, but it also showed up on offense.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete and I will be back tomorrow to preview the rest of this week's games and be able to process some of the stuff that was coming out after this game as well. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.